Hi, welcome to the big show. Yes, your eyes do not deceive you. We are back. Our summer hiatus is finished. Well, there wasn't much news. So, and I wasn't going to sit and talk about bloody Brexit and all that crap. I've had a lot of work as well, which is nice. So, we used to take a hiatus in the summer. We used to stop for 6 weeks religiously for the school holidays and stuff like that. So, it's nothing new. But we're back. And it's been brilliant because we've had a full Mac show and we've had a... look at this. We're bursting at the seams with guests for big. Incredible. What a fantastic bunch. Starting us off, top left. It's Big Chris. How you doing, dude?
I'm doing good. Doing good.
Now, this is crazy because Doc was in that slot for the Mac show, and he was wearing a red top as well.
Well, you know, that's the top red slot.
Yeah. I don't think he's a Redskins fan, though. So. How you been? Have you had a good summer, dude?
It was a busy, crazy summer, man. It was a good summer overall. Vacation was well. My brother made it out of the hospital after months and months of being in there.
Brilliant. And,
that was exciting for the family. Yeah, man. So it was overall a pretty decent summer. How about yourself?
Yeah, it's been good. It's been all right. It's not been too bad at all. It's been, I've done a lot of filming and stuff like that, but it's done now. And my Sentry camera's done all right. I've made a few connections with that, so that'll do well. Next to him, it's Jeffrey. Long time no see, buddy.
You know, even though we did the Mac show just a little while ago, I'm still glad to be back and glad to get spend even more time with you today.
I thought you were going to say glad to get spit then.
whatevs.
Awesome, mate. Excellent. Good to have you back. Making another welcome return, Mr. Campion. I haven't seen you in ages.
Evening. Yeah, it's been a while. I think I missed a few shows before we had the little break as well.
Yeah, there was a couple of duckouts. Now, this time last year, you had a broken leg, didn't you?
This time last year, I was sat here in cast.
After I said, break a leg,
I went and
when you went out for a race, you thought you would follow my instructions, which is
absolutely
flattering.
Yeah. But this year, training, I've got Yorkshire Marathon in a few weeks, and training this year has gone a bit better.
Yorkshire Marathon. Now, marathon's not a good word, but Yorkshire with the Dales and all that crap, mate. Come on, that's got to be a killer.
it shouldn't be too bad. It starts from York and goes out towards the East Coast. It's not too bad on the way out. I think I've got a little bit of climbing to do on the way back, just because of the route it takes, but looking forward to it. And I had a good half marathon and a PB last weekend, so chuffed about that. A nice little moral boost going into it as well.
All right. Excellent, mate. Good to have you back. Also rejoining us from the Mac show today, Patrice, you've had a hell of a summer, mate.
Oh, yes, I have. Boy. I got married and
got yourself
some other stuff. Busy.
Well, just not just get married. You got yourself a ready-made family and all.
Oh, yes, I did. Like, I got a 6-year-old and an 11-year-old now.
Brilliant, mate.
That was good fun. Yeah.
Why work your way up to it and sort of ease in, just jump in at the deep end? Another 4 years, the 11-year-old will be 15 and calling you all names under the sun.
Yeah, well, it's already started.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The 11-year-old is, like, old enough.
Yeah. Good to have you back, mate. And last but by no means least, the man that said... And actually, you had a good afternoon, mate, didn't you? You were popping in some interesting facts in the Mac show. I was quite impressed.
Yeah. I was the... you know, my executive producer position. I have to
you were good.
Look after you a lot, make sure you don't get out of hand.
And you've done all right with the guests as well?
I think it's because everyone's had a rest.
You got your mic on?
I think so.
All right, a bit close then.
Okay. I'm using your wonderful mic stand.
Yeah, I use that for the crack at the rootless because I haven't got enough hands to hold the mic at the same time as well.
I could just hide my
drive and everything.
Hide behind it.
Yeah. That might be a good idea.
Thanks.
Well done, mate. Glad to have you back. The week in tech then. So we haven't done this for a while. So there's been a whole pile of stories. There was one this afternoon that said that America has lost 3 billion birds in the last 50 years, which is just plain careless. And also the Navy, the US Navy has confirmed the existence of UFOs. As in, there's a light in the sky that they couldn't identify. Duh. I can't believe Muller posted that article right in the Slack room, and I can't believe I read the entire frigging thing before I realised at the bottom that they hadn't got any clue what they were talking about. And it was just like, well, it's unidentified, isn't it? So it could be anything. But it doesn't... Oh, Jesus, I can't believe you made me clickbait bugger. So if anyone's brought that story, they're in for a right pile of shit off me. So, right, who's gonna start us off then? Is that you, Muller? Have you done that?
I thought I'd just make it count.
You got to wait for the pistol, mate.
I did. I'm a bit premature today. I'm a bit excited.
We'll let Muller start then. I shouldn't let you start after you gave me that bloody bloody Navy story.
No, I haven't got the Navy story. No, I got one. I did put in Slack about a week ago. But I thought it was something interesting that we could talk about, the major breach found in biometric systems used by banks, police, defence, and offices and all sorts. So, I think it's the Israelis have managed to break into a database which they found unencrypted, which stores people's fingerprints, their biometric information, their photographs, all sorts. They were able to edit, inject their own fingerprints, photographs into it, or edit other people's. But there's some quite large companies, including the Met Police, involved. But I was talking to Mr. Batwench a little bit about it, and one of the things that the article goes on to talk about is what happens if your biometric details get out there. You're shafted. You can't just change your password. You can't change your fingerprints.
It is pretty serious. If the thing saying it identifies as you.
Yeah. I mean, you try telling a bank that's not me. I didn't do it. Well, it's your biometric details, mate. We've got on record for you. So,
it's got your fingerprints all over it.
Yeah. Well, they might not put your fingerprints. They might put their own fingerprints in there. But who would think to check?
Normally the biometrics, well, not in all cases, but I figured that most high secure places, the biometrics information is the what you have part of the what you have, what you know, for authentication. So if lower end places, I think probably, yeah, you're definitely right. But I think places that really take security as a feature, biometrics is only half of the puzzle.
Yeah, and I mean, your biometric information is out there, like your fingerprints. I mean, you move around in the world. You've left your fingerprints all over the place. If someone wanted it, they could probably get it. Your face, I mean, we're doing a video podcast.
Yeah, but that's not how biometrics works.
And based on the number of facial features you managed to pull in one of these, mate, they'd have everything under the book.
Well, exactly. Like, I mean...
They've got access to the actual database to edit it. I mean, if you go to a bank or somewhere, you actually give your when I gave my biometric details to my last employer, they would do it there and then in front of them. I mean, what these lot are doing, they're breaking into the database and injecting it themselves. So
putting their own faces on so that they can pretend to be you, yeah.
Yeah. Well, they could do that. They haven't, because it's obviously this was the good guys pointing out the other good guys have got it wrong, so... I just think it's quite a serious problem,
definitely for sure. And the fact that the data was being stored unencrypted yet again, another breach where they're just like, here you go, take it. Can you even call it a breach at that point?
No, it's not a breach. Absolutely right. Well said, Chris. That's not even a breach.
But this is a company you think would be under scrutiny from the likes of the police, and some of these big companies would be going like, well, how are you storing that data? I mean, surely there's a couple of you on here that do that sort of thing. Wouldn't you go there and ask them and get some sort of, guarantees that they're looking after the data properly?
It'd be nice.
You'd think that if you're a huge company and you're entrusting data with anybody, That company, you would be testing, you would be penetration testing, you would be looking at their policies. You before you even put information in that, you would be taking steps and controls to try and break into it.
I think that you would think, or you would like that to be the case. But the reality is, most of these companies are squeezing every dollar they can get out of their IT department. And so that means less with more, right? So, who can we lay off? Where can we move? support to whatever country, and then let's just, you know, run the bare minimums to make this thing work. All about profit. I agree with you. They should be, and as a matter of fact, they shouldn't be doing their own breach. They should be hiring companies to breach them, you know, so there's no bias or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But man, I've talked to a lot of customers out there in my day to day, man, and it's just less and less and less people to do the jobs, you know, that,
I mean,
they used to do.
They're outsourcing their software development to like people that make maybe, I don't know, $4 or $5 an hour. How much care do you like an external company? How much care do you expect them, like of them actually? Like it's kind of natural. Like if you want someone to care, you have to, like, it has to be your company. It has to, like, people have to identify with the product and actually think about things. If you just go with the lowest cost version, then yeah, that's what you get.
That when she's saying here, she's got the DNA pack from ancestors.co.uk and she's concerned about sending it back in now. I don't know if they're not the ones that were exposed here.
But they're storing your DNA profile.
Yeah, but
and they're using it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they're using it anonymously for research.
When you do a DNA profile like that, you are giving the company more than just a license to use your DNA. You are handing over ownership of your DNA to the company, and then they can use it in any way they please, and you have no recourse.
I think you'll find that you're not giving the ownership over. That's not true.
That's not legal.
Yeah, that's. I mean, you're giving them a license to use your DNA from the EULA that you sign with them when you submit it.
But
probably
DNA
talks about anonymized use.
That's what I say. They do anonymize it so they can get trends, can't they?
The way the licensing is worded, it's not just about anonymizing data. If they want to hand over your DNA information to any company for any reason, they are free to do that, and you don't have a recourse. If they want to do some sort of scientific research with your DNA, you don't have the right to say, okay, do that or not. But even to the point, if someone figured out how to clone straight from DNA, they can now make clones of you and you have no recourse. Well, I know I'm taking you to an extreme there, but
technology to do that.
That might be a gray area. I think I think someone would step in if that happened, but
I think they're talking about, we want to know how many people have got this gene carried in them, how many people have got, atopic in the population density and that kind of stuff. I wouldn't feel one of those, mostly because of the fact that if you can identify that you've got an underlying condition or a recessive gene, then when you fill out your bank details for insurance and you tick, check my medical records, this is one of those records that can be checked.
Yeah. I mean, not really, but like, I'm going to fill you in on a secret. If you really want to like have a proper DNA test and like from a medical perspective, go through your healthcare provider. There are services out there. I mean, I know because we're partnering with one in our company that will do the test, and like your provider will be able to help you understand the data. Like a lot of what those services are doing is not really all that helpful because
they just say you're 1% Neanderthal, 10% Japanese.
They don't really help you with anything.
Great granddad Ron was a bit of a man, a bit of a Neanderthals man.
Yeah, I mean,
and well related to
go through your provider, get it tested there, and that might be more helpful than all those services.
Now that Genghis Khan, now he could shag.
He could. That man got around.
Yeah, no, there's a guy who does DNA stuff, and he goes on holiday and he takes DNA samples from around the world where he goes on holiday, and he's done China, Indonesia, that kind of stuff. He's found Genghis Khan's fingerprints. All the way up to Italy. There was something like 30% of Chinese people can, or some stupid amount. It might not be 30, but it's a huge percentage in your mind of people that can trace themselves back to Genghis Khan.
Well, we can all of us trace our history back to one woman back in Africa called Eve.
Yeah, that's not a DNA
160,000 years ago.
Yeah,
and it's like seven tribes. Well, that's a long time, yeah, but...
Every male, I know from the ancestry thing, every male, every person in Europe, every white person in Europe can trace themselves back to 6 Norwegian men.
And isn't there another story that every person in the world has got Caesar's last breath, at least a molecule of Caesar's last breath in them?
That's right. Statistically speaking, every person in the world has a molecule of water from Caesar's last breath, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. As I said, I mean, you're related to the Queen. Like, just have to go back far enough.
Well, you're probably related, more related to than I am.
Muller's related to that
I'm
chair.
Actually more related. That's true. Yeah. We have some family.
She's a Habsburg, isn't she?
I'm kind of stuck on the Caesar's breath thing. I'm really hoping he brushed his teeth.
not in the conventional sense. He probably used
one hell of a sneeze.
Didn't they use urine and something else mixed in?
No, that was for cleaning their clothes.
No, I think their toothpaste was quite disgusting as well.
Well, most of what they did was disgusting. Well, Muller has a trip around IKEA and sees the family in there. Is the doorbells going off because iPhones are being delivered?
I don't know. I'll see what they say.
Not at my place yet.
Oh, it's coming.
It's coming.
Live unboxing. Live unboxing. Good story, mate. Patrice, yours is dead interesting, Patrice. I like this story. Go on.
Yeah. So speaking of faces in biometrics, AI-generated people are like starting to kill like the like stock photography that is used for like a lot of advertisement. Like they have generated, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of like fake people basically just with AI. So I mean that is cool. Like if you're not, I mean, it's bad for the people who got paid for like all the stock photos, but it's actually pretty cool. Like what you can do now.
Generated photos is a collection of 100,000 human faces, all free to download and use for any purpose.
Yeah. So that is, I mean, if you need a face for something, that's the way to go. I mean, you're not going to infringe on anyone's privacy. Like this is fake.
It's just an open Google Drive with no password.
Exactly. And they look realistic. I mean, look at them. Like, it's not that they look fake or anything. Like, they look like stock photos.
So all you need to do now is shove this within Suprema's database, and you've just got the faces of anybody you want. You just design your picture now in AI and shove it in Suprema's breach database for any bank or please off their Mueller story, and you're sorted, aren't you?
So
yeah,
we
I mean... Yeah,
we had a challenge on. This is going to ask me for my details, isn't it? I'm going to type my password in live on air. We had a challenge on the Mac show, which was to for people to go out and find our doppelgangers. Take a bit because we were talking about Japanese Jeff and that kind of stuff. So. If you do find our doppelganger when you're away on holiday, take a picture and send it in and we'll show it. But I'm just thinking, with this drive, we could go through the 100,000 photos that there are here, and there's got to be someone in there that looks fairly like us.
Probably, yeah.
Statistically speaking, there's got to be at least one of us who is fairly well replicated. I mean, these are all fairly good-looking people, and we're a bunch of ugly sods, but Chris accepted, of course, because he's now got a cheekbone and jawline.
Speak for yourself.
Well, you two too, as well. Yes, but you look the same as you did before. So it's you know, there's got to be So if anyone downloads this, goes through it, and if anyone finds our doppelganger, send them in, and we'll put those up too.
Yeah, it's like, where is this going? I mean, that's for me the question. Like, I mean. You can
I'm pretty sure the next 10 fake Facebook account friend requests I get are going to be some faces from here.
Yep. Probably, yeah. I mean...
Yeah, very likely.
Yeah. I mean, not that it was difficult before to do that, but now, like, you don't even have to steal from someone else. You literally just...
And so all of these people are real people, are they? Or are they just... They're completely computer-generated?
From my understanding, they're completely computer generated.
They look so real.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, you couldn't tell. Like, if I gave that to you and didn't tell you anything and just said, hey, yeah, here's like 100,000 faces for like stock photography,
I you would be fine tell. With it. I can't tell. I am looking through.
Are absolutely it's endless.
It's really amazing.
They can just essentially just hash all of these different ones together. The list is endless how far they can go with this.
My God.
It's a bit like photo fit stuff for the police.
Oh, this is unreal, though, the detail. I can't tell that they're not real people.
Yeah, I mean, that's the point. And I mean, about, what's that, like 10 years ago? Yeah, close to 10 years ago, I did like a project in school where we, like one of our departments, they were like generating landscapes for like movies, for CGI and whatever. And we did like an expo where we showed real photos and generated ones, and we didn't tell people which was which, and nobody could tell. Like, the trees and everything looked so realistic. It was landscapes. So I mean, this is a step further because it's more detailed. You need more detail for like a human face and everything. But it's crazy.
If they can get these images as accurate as they're getting them, and then they can get human movement developed to be as accurate as
that's meshing. That's just dead easy.
That's done already.
Yeah, that's already been done. I mean, the deep fake videos that we've seen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
I'm just sitting looking. I am amazed at this. This is unbelievable. The tones on the skin, the light, the way the light falls is consistent as well.
Mm-hmm.
Across the image. Yeah,
like, it's what we can do nowadays. Like, we got enough power in our computers. Probably, I mean, you can probably do that with a phone, just enough time with it.
To be fair, though, there's no ugly buggers in here.
They're coming next.
Well, this girl's got a bit of a wonky eye.
Can you order them as a robot?
Here we go. So there's nice. I mean, this one's not ugly, but she's got a bit of an issue. That it hasn't mapped the eyes properly. Everyone else seeing that?
You know, the photos I've been looking at, I've been looking at the eyes because that's one place where I've seen computer generated faces looking fake.
Yeah.
And the fact that I'm not seeing symmetry in the eyes, that's pretty good.
That is. Yeah.
I mean, but it doesn't look
fake. Yeah, you know, it looks like the natural asymmetry that you would have.
Okay, so there's another one here that's not particularly good on the teeth, and that looks like it's her O-face.
Maybe that's what they wanted to generate.
So, I mean, there's a bit of, like, you've seen that middle fang? It's got an incisor smack in the middle under her nose. Right, before anyone writes in and complains, we're not talking about real people here. So we are taking the piss out of artificially intelligent, computer-generated faces. So the fact that it's got a fang under a top lip in the middle under a nose is not offensive to anyone in the slightest.
Could have fell off a bike when she was younger.
Yeah.
But what
maybe her computer parents didn't have the money for an orthodontist.
Well, that's it. She went home to her artificially intelligent mother and father, and they said, well, that's what you get for riding artificially intelligent bikes.
Maybe she was a character in Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, so here's
I mean,
another eye one gone wrong.
What Deepan is saying is actually it takes more CPU power is actually to some extent true. Like, I mean, there has been a lot of research into like what we perceive as beauty and like what makes a face beautiful, and it's a lot of symmetry. Like, it's a little bit of asymmetry, but it's a lot of like symmetry and like roundness and all of that. And yeah, I mean, like, more complex faces, I mean, I wouldn't call them ugly, but like, more complex faces take more like CPU power. That's true.
Hillary Clinton before she met Bill. Macaulay Culkin before they started filming.
Wow. You know what? Now that I think about it, these guys might kill, you know, a lot of the modeling industry.
Mm-hmm.
Because you figure when you see like those PowerPoint presentations that are like these actors or models that are just, you know, holding the computer or the laptop, and they always use these stock images, and they won't need to pay them anymore.
So this guy here, there's something gone wrong there, because that looks like he's wedged his head in a kidney dish at the dentist's. And what the hell's going on with his forehead? Is that like a Cyclops thing starting to happen?
He looks like one of the aliens in the premiere of Star Trek, the first edition.
I mean, most of these are significantly good, but there is a few absolute howlers in here.
Yeah, I'm not.
I'm still looking for someone I know. I'm desperate to find someone I know before we stop this story. We should have all taken a folder. There's another wonky eye one. Which I get people have wonky eyes. I'm not taking the piss out of people with wonky eyes. But if you're going to make a computer-generated eye, you'd make it correct, I would assume.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm assuming that they were trying to go for beautiful, perfect, and not for like weird.
Another one with a kidney dish on her head.
You know, if you want to have a wide representation, that you want some people in this mix that don't have what you know, what we look at and say, this is what people look like. You know, we you want to have the variation.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah, it's made a mistake on this one. Look, it's a woman with
a head next to it.
With another head next to it.
You know, I'm assuming that if my photo was in there, it would say, "Oh, look, look at the mistakes they made on this one." This
oh my life, what's happened here?
Wouldn't you be Japanese?
Very possible.
Japanese Jeff.
Possible. Japanese Jeff.
What the?
Everyone's going to have to watch the Max show now.
It's Queen Amidala, but with bad dentistry. The headgear is just quite astounding.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. I've definitely found a cross between a man and a woman. Oh, I'm not sure what that one is.
Oh my life. That's like Javier Bardem, but after he's been beaten.
Oh dear. Jesus.
Do you know what the real sad part about this is? Because if you want to know any of the stories that we do, britishtechnetwork.com/chat, navigate to the 20th of September and scroll down to 20 past 8, and you too will be able to have access to all of these images. And on Tuesday, I know I'm going to be sat in the office here scrolling through, and I'm not going to stop till I've covered 100,000 faces and found some bugger I know.
What the hell is happening to this one?
Oh my
God. I did not expect to get this much out of this story.
What the friggin' hell has this boy got on his head? He's got his coat on his head.
Have a look at 90077. I've hit a rich stream in this folder.
90077. I've run out of 600.
Oh, it's the second but last folder.
So it didn't take that long really to get from, wow, these are absolutely amazing, I can't tell.
Yeah, so, no, that's true. Yes, good
true,
point.
There are a couple that are like completely off.
I would say it's only about 1% because you have to go, oh, God, there's another one here that's done it. 90199 is another one that's put another head on his shoulder.
It is Tinder for data.
Oh,
yeah, but I mean, it's still like it's 1%. Like the rest are actually pretty good.
Look at this guy. This guy thinks he's a pirate captain with a piece of paper on his head. That's
so a low rent pirate.
Is this Tinder for data from Star Trek?
Oh, that's the folder.
Has this girl got a leather skirt on her head?
There's quite a few good ones in that folder.
What on earth?
That's a good question. Deepan is asking, how easy would it be to write a screensaver that randomly pulls from these folders every few seconds?
Oh, that would be superb. You're on it, Deepan. Your job. Get going.
Yep.
Put it in the app store and charge 60p for it and donate it to BTN.
Uh-huh.
These were all my Facebook friends.
I'm trying to find the ones where the, because you said they're second to last folder, which I've done.
Yeah, it's
here we go. This guy's got He's got
in like, the right folder.
He's got like Jabba. He's got what's the annoying thing from Phantom Menace?
Is it but Jar Jar?
He's got Jar Jar Binks next to him.
Mm-hmm.
His face is really good, but it's just got that. Jar Jar. Here we go. Binks. Here's another one. He's got a turnip next to him. And what on earth has he got round his neck?
That one with the
fascinating that's the one, podcasting that's the one right now. What the hell?
I'm at 49. What was it? I'm at 902. I need to look at 90210.
I don't.
See if it's anyone that looks like from there.
I haven't seen a single black dude whose hair is right.
Was that just a general statement in life, or are you still talking about the photos?
No, my hair is right.
That's 90210.
All the hair that I've seen on the black dudes in these images are way off.
There you go. That's 90210.
That doesn't surprise me.
A bit Spockish.
No. But I'm kind of happy about it. I'm like, yes.
Probably need some more tuning for that.
I'm going to have to find one that looks like Doc and post it to him.
Do that.
Yeah, well, Doc's got no hair, so that should be easier.
Yeah.
No. What the?
I'm not sure if that's a boy or a girl.
Yeah, that one doesn't look right.
Strangely compelling, though. Like a doll.
Well, I didn't zoom, bugger off.
I love the droopy eye on some of these folks. It is hilarious. It's like, oops. It's like a Terminator movie or something when the face starts melting.
I've just realized this is crap audio, but I do apologize.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for all of you that are just listening.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
He's like random bloke jumping in the photobomb with glasses. It's some of the attire is just so wacky.
Tell you what, though, it's been an interesting 5 minutes looking through Muller's high school yearbook.
I haven't seen anyone yet.
There's a lot of nice looking ones there, though.
Yeah. Well, like I said, they haven't really tried to go for the Minga market, have they? So none of them are double baggers.
It's like they've taken elements from a photograph and mashed them, and it's made errors.
Well, in the people that have got, when it's got the faces, it's generally got the faces pretty good. Like you said, it's only 1% that it's cocked up, but for some reason, it's just got two. I mean, what the heck is that?
I think they've harvested people's photographs on Facebook and then... Done some sort of merging.
It's an AI system, so that's basically what you do. You train a system to like recognize faces and know how a face looks like, and then you do that with real photos, and then you ask it to like generate a new one.
That's the first one I've seen that looks computer generated.
I don't know.
The mouth is wrong, and it looks, and the texture on the skin under the eyes looks computer generated, but.
The more I look at these, particularly in this folder, the worse they look.
I don't know. The quantity of decent images is still quite high.
Yeah.
Is it going to kill stock photography? I'm not trembling yet.
I don't think
it. Mind you, having said that. What's killed stock photography is everyone getting a camera and putting it on stock image sites. Because, I mean, I used to make about $2,000 a month out of stock photography, and I make nothing now. Admittedly, I haven't submitted a new image for quite a while, but the writing was on the wall a long time ago with stock.
Mm, that's true.
I don't make anything out of it anymore, and I've got a couple of thousand images sat on image libraries. I think people just steal the images as well.
Mm-hmm. They do.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of that.
That's interesting and worrying in equal measure. Good story, Patrice.
Good. Thank you. I didn't think we would get that much out of it.
No, that was good. Who's got the next story then? Who's going to dive in with something?
I actually posted one up there.
Big Chris. Oh, here we go. Oh, it's a Facebook and AI story. Go on, mate. Talk us through it.
Yeah, so essentially it looks like that Facebook is trying, and let me preface this with I don't know if this is a good or bad thing yet, but Facebook is trying to work with law enforcement agencies to harness their body cam footage to help train their AI to detect extremism and other dangerous situations. I think, you know, the thinking is that this stems from that mosque shooting that was being streamed and they completely missed it. Their AI system completely missed what was happening. But man, I am just, I like, we earlier in the summer, we talked about Amazon and their recognition software. Mm-hmm. And how they're working with police departments and you know, the mistakes that software makes. And so here we go again with another company trying to get into this realm. And man, I'm really starting to get worried about these large companies and what they're trying to do with facial recognition and what the ultimate end game is for these guys. So this is, especially when, you know, what we talked about earlier, you have these data breaches that exist and, mm-hmm. Out there, yeah. But I don't know. I kind of would hope that, you know, if somebody's streaming something that's like a mass shooting, mm-hmm. it could be picked up. But at the same time, what else are they doing with this data and what else do they plan to do with these police departments? So yeah. It's kind of odd to me.
I'm with you on like the concern, on the being ambivalent about it. Like, I mean, I see some good things. I think the only way how we can combat extremism, violence, anything like that on those platforms, which I'm guessing is something we definitely do want to do, is by like automating it, because it is just too much. I mean, nobody can watch all the content that's out there. Like, it's just too much. I mean, just the content that's put up on YouTube is more than like a even decent sized team could ever even monitor or watch. Like, you have to automate it to some extent. I really hope that there is still ultimately, like, I mean, the AI flags something or says, hey, this is potentially an issue. And then someone reviews it and says, yeah, is that true or not? And like kind of also trains the system a little and says, okay, yeah, that was wrong. But yeah, I agree. Like it's also worrying what else you could do with that. Like, I mean, yeah.
One of the things I wish that these companies would do would be more involved with the communities that they're affecting with this software. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, clearly the disenfranchised folks in the out there, the ones that don't have the money mm-hmm. to hire lawyers, you know, for wrongful convictions mm-hmm. and harassment and stuff like that, they're the ones that are going to be affected the worst in some of these situations. So I wish they would reach out and then show some goodwill up front to make put people's minds at ease, because today I got my first alert from the police department about collecting video for a certain time period mm-hmm. for somebody they said was, you know, going up and knocking on people's doors. And I'm just like, probably never pushing that information out. But yeah, so yeah, this stuff is really starting to pick up a bit.
Yeah. I think if it was a coalition between Facebook, where they were helping police departments to share information from body cams and that kind of stuff, you'd probably feel a lot more better about it. But once Facebook gets hold of stuff, you do not, you know, they're going to use it to create a million AI images of people's faces that you don't know anyone.
And then when you think about what Facebook are doing with the portal system and the ability for video calls, and obviously they want the portal system in homes. You know, overlay the information that's just sat out of people's living rooms that Facebook will ultimately be collecting, and then place that together with this. The bank of video and human interaction content is huge.
Mm. It is. It's interesting. There's an example here about the Christchurch shooting at the mosque. Because that was picked up on live streaming and nothing was acted upon, which would have been good.
And they caught a lot of flack for it, but I don't know, you know, what they could have done. I don't know if they're expected to understand that there's a shooting going on. If anybody's software is expected to
pick up that there's a shooting going on. So I don't know why people gave them that much.
You got to say, if someone's live streaming something, it's got to raise an alarm somewhere that says, where is this person? Why are they looking at pictures of the gun, admiring their gun? I mean, the one thing I'll say about live streaming stuff that I've seen, I've never seen anyone brandishing a gun or in a car looking like they were going somewhere. Most of the live streaming stuff from cars I've seen is wholly inappropriate, even after this time of night. But it's not been this kind of stuff. So, you know, this is atypical behavior, isn't it? Start showing pictures of your gun in a car on the way to do a shooting. If someone's live streaming that should have raised some, there must have been accidental views of that even perhaps.
Is this happening out in Europe at all? Because I know you guys have much stricter policies over how data is managed and stored and all that stuff. Are you guys starting to see this type of facial recognition blow up out there?
Mueller's probably a better one to talk, but I would think that the police forces are joined up enough that they would share data from body cameras, and they do have them. So,
yeah, they're more prevalent now. They've had them for they've been trying on different times and in different numbers. I think now there's,
it's depending on the chief constable, isn't it? If the chief constable's against it, then it doesn't happen.
They pretty much had them 15 years ago. On my division, and every time I see anyone now, in fact, a lot more walkers have actually got tasers as well. Where before you had to be in a car, you had to be partly. Well, they used to have on the cars, but there was I bumped into a mate of mine on a pedal bike, and he had one. So they've obviously relaxed in the rules on tasers, which I think is needed with the amount of violence, and of course, obviously with the cuts. There's far fewer of them out there, but all of them, if you've got a taser, you've got a camera, because obviously you need to say certain words.
It's very far, you've used it,
yeah. Well, you know, you've got to warn people that you're doing it. You've got to then stop them first. You've got to give them clear warning of what you're about to do if they don't comply with you. And obviously, if you don't do that, then you've used unlawful force.
So in America, I don't think you've got the same thing. A taser in the UK is classed as a firearm, so it's a full Section 5 offence.
Well, so is pepper spray or whatever. Or in our case, it's CS. CS spray, not gas. But that's classed as a Section 5 firearm.
Yeah, and you're right. Tasers, pepper spray, those aren't classified the same as firearms.
As a U.S. citizen, can you own a taser and keep it in your house without any kind of authority or license? Or
sure, just go on Amazon and buy one.
Wow. Or go to Walmart.
Sure.
Get caught with one here, you're going to prison.
it'd be a minimum of 2 years, wouldn't it?
You're definitely going to prison. CS, or pepper spray, you might not go to prison for that.
Point here from Deepan, is this just a Cambridge Analytica thing? Now they've rebadged themselves or something else.
I don't think the British police would share footage with Facebook like that. I think there'd be all
they have a mechanism.
I think they would.
No, it'd be shared through ACPO. It wouldn't. They wouldn't give it away to Facebook.
No. Well, they don't need to because they're just going to that hacked database and take it.
the way they used to store the footage wasn't very secure, I must admit. But I think they've tightened up on a lot of that because the servers used to be up by us, so they download it at their desks. It would go up, and then the computer would do something with it and file it. But then anyone could, if you signed in on the system and were authorised and had a card, you could view anyone's footage, which I always thought was wrong.
Yeah.
Cause, you know, I'm just picturing George Orwell spinning over in his grave and thinking, there's no way I could have written this stuff. People wouldn't have believed me.
I bloody told you. I told you.
Well, no, but he was telling us about 1984. He wasn't telling us about 2019, mate, and it's even worse.
That's a good point.
I can remember us having facial recognition computer in the early 90s, but it just didn't work. It was awful. And then they tried again in the early 2000s. But yet again, what they didn't tell the people setting it up is you need decent pictures in to get decent hits out. And they were putting awful stuff in. And we kept saying to them, you need to put decent pictures in there. It's never going to match the pictures you're putting in.
No. I remember the first speech-to-text thing that was run on DOS 5.
Or Dragon. Dragon speaking naturally.
Oh, no, that never worked. I had that, and it never worked.
Didn't understand the Brummie accent, I don't think.
It just never worked. Also, it didn't work for people with plums in the mouth either. This was the first thing I saw that in a commercial thing. It was in Royal Mail, and they had DOS 5-driven speech recognition for parcel destination. So guy would get a parcel, and he'd say the country. So they had to program in 265 countries or whatever it is and do the learning thing.
What if they had a Scotsman on the line? not only from Glasgow, a Glaswegian. Or maybe a Jamaican.
Jeff, your story. Hackers asked if they want to take a picture of the moon.
Yeah, okay. So the government is what they're doing is going out and asking ethical hackers to see if they can hack into to different satellites and then use the cameras on the satellites. So take a picture of the moon. And if they can do that, well, then they win a prize, a money prize, but then the government also gets the data and whatever the hack was. And so the idea is that the government is trying to see if these different Defense Department satellites are secure or if something needs to be done to make them safer. And when I came across this article, my first thought was, Patrice did the article I was going to do. I'm glad I found this. Then my second thought was, holy crap, the idea of people being able to hack and then hijack satellites for mm-hmm. their own use or to lock them down and demand a ransom so that the governments or companies that have made these can get back mm-hmm. into their satellites and use them again, that's actually kind of scary.
Well, it's actually kind of good, though, as well, isn't it? Because it's what they're seeing is not the finished article. What they're probably seeing is something that is... I mean, if there's a satellite in orbit, it's a lot of money to launch a satellite, so it probably is the finished article. But the bit that they're going to give them initial... Because they've got to give them a prod, surely. They've got to tell them, you know, this is the IP address or something like that. I don't know. Well, does a satellite have an IP address?
Yeah, I mean, you don't need the full satellite. You literally only need, like, the hardware, like, the computer components.
Yeah, I think that's what they're talking about, because they did it on this is the second time they've done it, and they said they'd done it on a F-15 fighter jet computer, mm-hmm. though, but not the jet. The computer was extracted, mm-hmm. etc. So.
Right, but the principle's the same. It doesn't matter if the satellite hardware is sitting in a lab in Virginia or mm-hmm. if it's in orbit, it's can people actually take control over these satellites? And mm-hmm. if they can take control over something that's in orbit, man, I can see where that would be a problem.
Yeah, they've done this with a car, though, haven't they? They've done
the whole thing with Jeep.
Yeah. That was about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. It has been done with a lot of cars by now.
Yeah, cars are apparently super easy. Like there's no security on a car at all.
Mm-hmm. Not surprised.
I guess the smart move for them is to crowdsource it as well. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you need experts. You need people that have like the knowledge, the motivation, and the time. And that those are usually not government employees.
Yeah. Right.
Can't you just get a camera and take a picture of the moon?
No, it's got to be on the. That'd be the thing. We'll give you $100 million if you can get this thing to take a picture of the moon, and then you hack in and find out there's no camera on it.
Or the camera's there, but it's been disabled because the people that hacked it right before you turned it off so you didn't have a chance.
Yeah, that would be funny, too. Yeah.
So what do we think about using ethical hackers then in general as a terms of defense? It seems valid to me.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. The only way how you can do it. I mean, I can tell you every company either, like every software company either should be doing it or is already doing it. Like anybody who has any kind of sensitive data, and it can be anything, like it might be your, whatever, your name and your address, is doing it or should be doing it. Like it's like those like security companies that you hire to do penetration tests. Those are ethical hackers. They're trying to get into your system. Like it's the only way how you can protect yourself against like bad people, like people who have like who want to get to your data and want to use it for nefarious purposes, to not do it or not be able to do it.
You're totally right. You need to have the people that have the expertise, the experience, and the drive to find the weaknesses.
Yeah.
And the people that are writing the code and building the systems, sure, they can find things, but they can't think of everything. And that's where these other people come in.
Yeah.
And
I mean, yeah. I mean, I've done penetration tests like internally for our company and like for some services, but like I know my limits. Like I'm too close to the product. I know too much even about like internal processes. And sometimes it's good. Sometimes that gives you extra attack vectors that like an outside source would probably not have, but like that might still happen. Like a disgruntled employee might do something. But it's also important that you have distance, that you look at it with like completely fresh eyes. You know, I mean, we literally like we give them, here's a username and password. I mean, those are usually relatively easy to get to. And then like go at it. And that's all the information they get, like the server and username and password. Right. And that's it. And they figure out everything else. And
what's
it's a completely different perspective.
Are you going to shock us with how successful they are, or are they?
I mean, you're always surprised. Like there are some things where you're like, yeah, okay, that could happen, or yeah, maybe I didn't think about that. But there's always something where you're like, wow, okay, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, so that's the good thing, isn't it? Is that angle of vision that they have that's completely different from yours? Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, and it's not always done through necessarily just like pure technical means. You know, they'll go through social engineering. They'll get detailed that way, so they don't necessarily have to force their way to crack the system. They'll get the passwords from people opening their mouth.
Yeah, yes. Social engineering works so well.
Yeah,
but just gathering. Yeah, okay, you welcome into the firm. Crack this system. Okay, I'll go to the water cooler and get everything I need.
Even that. Use Facebook. Use LinkedIn. You know, get all the details and then start to try and break people's passwords that pretend you're in as them.
So it's things like dogs' names and that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Wedding anniversary, you know, school, first car, all that sort of stuff.
Wow. First car, Jesus, I had a password that was your first car, yeah.
Yeah. Loads of common security questions. What was make and model of your first car? You go through people probably who are 25, 30 year old now and start looking back through the Facebook.
But that's the thing is that
it's bought my first car today.
The predictive data and the password stuff that you get it's got to the stage now where it is too predictive. You know, you must have a character, an alpha character, a numeral character, and a symbol. And if you don't have those three things, then you can't have a password, and they just physically don't let you in. And then you've also got you should be able to create your own stuff. But, I mean, my passwords bear no relationship to me at all. I've got one level password, which is low down, which there's quite a few places you could get in if you found it. But going higher up, they're not passwords you'd associate with me.
I couldn't even tell you most of my passwords.
Because you're using a system like LastPass or OnePass.
Yeah, I use LastPass. So I have no idea what most of my passwords are.
Yeah, I'm saying no idea.
Well, did LastPass get hacked recently?
Yeah, that was something.
Yeah.
No, they never got to the actual passwords, though.
Yeah, I think it doesn't do them any good to get to the passwords. I don't think.
I don't. I think it was just like email addresses or something like that. But I don't. Yeah, because they don't store the password, so, or they don't store. They have no access to them from themselves. So
Bob Beach swears by 1Password because it's the bee's knees.
Yeah, but if they get you 1Password, they got all your passwords. Just saying.
I've never used password recognition stuff. I've never used the keychain stuff in Mac. And the only time I ever have said, clicked it by mistake and said yes, it's caused me a world of hurt getting out of the other side of it. And I just, not interested. I'd rather just, my passwords are simple. There's a lot, most of everything that I've got that's got a password on it is if you hack it, well, you're welcome to it. Couldn't care less. Good story, Matt. Has anyone not done a story?
Me. I'll just pop that in.
Monsieur Campion. Story about, oh, God, .gov.co.uk.
Uh-oh.
new technology to detect knives in public.
Yeah, so new technology, not quite sure on that claim, because this is used in the US as well. I think it's used in LAX airport for reading down this particular article. But there's a 5-day trial, so the Home Office have funded a trial with a company called, what's the bloody name of it now, TrueVision, TrueVision. And essentially what's happening here, so there's a 5-day trial happening currently down at Stratford East Tube Station, and they're basically having some scanners, and these scanners map body heat from up to 30 feet away. The idea being that they should be able to use this technology to safely detect weapons. So if people have got guns, knives, explosive devices, in some of the other articles, it's showing things like drugs concealed in the body and stuff like that. Essentially, what that would do is cover part of the person's body and therefore not allow heat through that element. They can see if they can start to track down and reduce things like knife crime by easily identifying weapons and things like that under clothing.
The camera technology for this, I had a meeting the other week with a firm because we were talking to them about Sentry, and they do facial recognition cameras. Now, their cameras start at £6,000, but the guy was telling me that they've got a system that they use in bars where someone walks through the door and there's 4 cameras immediately pick them, 3D map the face, and then when they get to the bar, it can map what they've purchased as the guy types it into the till. And then when they next come to the bar, when they are asked if they want a drink, the till can predict and can tell what they had at their last round and show it up automatically to the barman.
You have to be me then.
Well, yeah, because you're a different part of everything. But the technology that he was describing to me and the way that it tracked people, he said, their facial recognition cameras, he says, that what we can do with the data and how we can associate an action to a person that we've captured is worrying.
I've got an issue with that, with privacy.
Well, no, they don't do it. They're not locking your name, and they're not taking a picture. They're not actually taking a picture of your face. They're taking a 3D map of your face and then just associating data with that. And so then they anonymize it and they use it for purchase trends in bars. So then they know your rough age. They'll know roughly how tall you are. So tall blokes of 30 to 40 buy a lot of Guinness. Don't buy a lot of Guinness. It's that kind of stuff. And they sell the data afterwards.
Mm. But the tills would do that anyway by what they sell during the night.
Doesn't map it to a person. Doesn't map it to a demographic.
Your Tesco club card does that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what this technology is doing, so this isn't taking a photograph. It can't discern the sex of someone, the race of someone, any body mapping or anything like that. Purely to me, from what I can see, it's the equivalent of an X-ray machine, albeit on body heat.
Well, it's the airport scanner thing, isn't it? That they had.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it's just got the guy's got like a dark zone underneath his top that perhaps is a knife that's not emitting an awful lot of heat compared to the rest of him.
Yep. Yeah. So this is just a heat map.
Yeah.
It's a heat map. And then it's the experience of officers monitoring those tools. It's going to identify, and I suppose there'll be an element of profiling in there. that says, right, if I mean, obviously there's going to be things that people carry on the body under the clothes and stuff that won't necessarily be a weapon, but could block heat coming through. So they're going to have to use some sort of profiling that goes with it alongside it, and then police will make arrests as they see appropriate. I'm sorry, not arrests. Maybe stop and search powers.
I was going to say, it's an excuse to stop and search, isn't it, if the camera picks stuff up?
But surely they've got to make this a condition of travel then, because at the moment, that would be unlawful.
You're there under licence, mate. They can do what they like.
Yeah.
As long as they tell you, it's the same as CCTV, as long as they tell you that they declare that it's doing it, you're there under licence. They're private premises.
Yeah, if there's a sign on the doorway, like it only happened last week, I walked into the local Asda. And there was a sign, and it wasn't a huge sign in the doorway saying we're currently filming in store today. Basically, by coming into the store, you're giving us permission that you could be caught on film.
Yeah, that's exactly it. There's a lot of people go out and they we'll have to sign a model release and stuff like that for it. You don't need to. If you're a licensed premises, as in if you're admitting people under license, then when you grant that license to enter, you can specify any condition you like on that. It's entirely their choice to enter.
Because we've used knife arches in the past, but that usually, if you don't go through the knife arch, you're just turned away. It's basically, you have to come into this pub today, the manager wants you to use this knife arch.
There you go, that's licensed.
If you refuse to do it, then all he's going to do is say you can't come in.
So that I go to quite a lot of concerts, and since there's huge now First Direct Arena in Leeds, fantastic music venue, and probably the last 5-6 times that I've been, outside the venue, there is metal railings up and there is a massive queue just to get into the venue. And what they're asking you to do is turf your pockets out into a little airport style tray. And then they get the body wand and just sort of give that a little wave front and back to, and then before they let you in. The queues are ridiculous. I would much rather they have a row of these machines and they're scanning everybody walking through the door, checking you out. I have no issue with that.
Yeah, but one of the benefits of queuing is they're slowing you down so that they can do the recognition on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also people waiting.
So if you make people queue, then A, you know where they are, you know their orientation, you know the direction they're facing, and you've slowed them down so that you can take pictures on them.
And you can probably also monitor their behavior for a longer time because you will see like how they behave while they're waiting.
Before they get in.
All this monitoring.
Yeah, I'm not convinced they're doing that at Leeds Arena when you look at some of the stewards that are waving the wand around.
The stewards are show. They are virtually useless.
Yeah, I've been searched at the football and
they're not the issue. That is security theatre. It's the cameras that are doing everything. Mm. And all they've got to do is slow you down and face you in a specific direction so they know they can capture your features. Mm. And that's it, you're done and dusted.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Tom VF. Thank you very much for coming and saying hello. I don't have a problem with this. I mean, because knife crimes are big, and it's one thing that bothers me as a parent. You know, Ellis is 16 now, so you know we've got less of a hold on him. We're not keen on him staying after 10 o'clock at night, and he's been asked, you know, to make sure that he can come back. But the thought of knife crime really bothers me around him
too.
Going out. It's the only thing that really. You know, it gives me the creeps a bit.
It does, because it's not like when we were kids, when people used to fight with a fist, and if they had a problem, you had a fight, and that was the end of it.
I mean, I've
it's not that anymore.
The problem you've got, I mean, I've always said that, you know, cowards carry weapons, but the problem is there's a lot of cowards out there, and they're not afraid to use them, which is just, you know,
scary.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really is. Thumbs up from us then.
Definitely.
Hey, Ewan, I got to jump out of here. I've got to get my daughter to gymnastics.
That's okay, mate. Thank you very much. Where can everyone get a hold of you, Chris?
Hey, you can always find me at smrpodcast.com or at Big Chris Ashley. Come check me out over there, folks. Thank you so much for having me, man. Really appreciate it.
Good to finally see you, brother.
Hey, man. Good to hear from you guys, man. I look forward to being back on again.
In the flesh and bone.
All right, guys, later.
See you. Take care. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by TSO Host. We love them. They've been great to us, and we're going to get a lot closer as well in the coming couple of weeks. We've got a call with them on Monday to see what it is they want from us and what we can do for them. But, you know, they were talking about us growing together and that kind of thing. They really, really love the brand recognition that you guys have been giving them. So please take to Twitter and say thanks at TOSO host for supporting at British Tech, because it does mean everything to us. There are no servers. There are no shows. All of our content disappears if they walk away. So please make sure you give them that brand recognition. Just stop what you're doing and tweet it and then come back to the podcast afterwards. Because it makes a massive difference to their relationship with us. But our relationship is going to change over the coming weeks. It's going to be going much, much better and much, much closer. And if you notice this morning on Twitter, they tweeted out about the Mac Show and the Big Show today. So they're going to help us try and grow our listenership as well. So it's all good, all excellent stuff, and we'd lost without them. If you want TSO stuff, their hosting services are unbelievable, email hosting, that kind of thing. Anything you buy from them, stick it in your basket, type in BTN20 as your offer code, and you get 20% off your hosting services within the basket. They are absolutely committed to us, and we've got really lucky to find them, absolutely brilliantly lucky to find them. So thanks very much, TSO hosts. We're looking forward to a long and fruitful relationship for the pair of us. Right, time to give us your cool thing. Jeffrey, start us off.
I just realized I don't have the link up for you. Sorry about that. But it's easy to find, and it's cheap too. It's an Echo button.
What?
Yeah. So a two pack costs $19, and so anything that you set up with your Alexa routines, or any of your smart home devices that you're controlling that way, you can map those to a button. So instead of having to talk to an Echo, you just push the button and it does the thing.
So you buy an automated switch to go on a lamp that you used to switch on and off so that you could get Alexa to do it by your voice, and then you buy a button so that you can switch it on and off like you used to.
Right, exactly. Yes.
Dude, there's a fish hook caught in your mouth.
Yeah. So also games. So if you're doing, there's a bunch of different games that you can play through an Echo.
Yeah.
And many of them are designed, like quiz games and stuff to use the dots.
You could play like you could be like four of you playing a buzzer game.
Exactly. Yes.
Across the world in real time.
When I bought these, I didn't buy them for the gaming feature, which is what they started as. They added in the smart home control stuff later on. And as I was making my $20 purchase, I was totally aware of the irony of I'm adding in a switch to do the thing that I set up for voice control so I don't have to do the switch. Yes. But what made me decide it was worth for me doing it anyhow was because when I sleep at night, I have to use an APAP machine, and I have an air conditioner in my bedroom, and it's voice controlled. But when you have an APAP machine on, you can't voice control.
Right.
And so I didn't want to have to, in the middle of the night, if I needed to turn the AC on, take the mask off, talk to the Echo, put the mask on and go back to sleep. So now sitting beside my bed, I have one of these. And if it's time to turn the AC on, I just reach over, hit the button and cool my room down.
Can you?
And I can see a use for this for your parents.
Oh, go on then.
The whole turn lights on, lights off, lights on, lights off.
Oh, right. Yeah, they could have it in their pocket, yeah. Couldn't they?
So, yeah.
For sure. Reason,
they can't speak.
Yeah, and you can link these to a specific Echo.
Oh, that is cool.
So you could, like, if you're going to have these at your parents, but your parents' Echo is on your account, you can pair them to their Echo specifically.
Cool. Yeah, that would work. That's a great idea.
Yeah. Dad has one of them in his pocket. For some reason, he can't speak, or he's not close enough that the Echo can hear him. Give the button a tap.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. I'll take the piss and I'll feel bad now.
No, taking the piss was totally appropriate, and I would have been concerned had you not.
Thanks, man.
Actually, you're, so
they're $20 then, are they?
$20 for a set of two.
And they're called exact name, Echo Buttons.
Yeah, I believe it's just Echo Button.
Right, I am now going to go on to Amazon and buy one each for my parents.
Instead of taking your mask off, why don't you get one of them vibrator things that smokers who've lost their voice use? And then you could go in like a robot voice to your air conditioning, closed, off, please.
It wouldn't matter, although what a wonderful and awesome idea, and I kind of want to do it. The reason it wouldn't matter is because the positive air pressure, which is going down through my throat, that's what screws up your ability to talk. So even if I had one of the Cylon throat things, it still wouldn't work right. Yeah. Right. But I kind of like the idea.
Or a dictaphone.
Mate, I've always got you. That's the word. That's the old. I'd love a dictaphone. Yeah, well, I've always got you. Good pick, mate. I've ordered two straight away. Done. Dusted.
Yeah.
Because Patrice put his in first, we'll do his first.
Oh, okay. So mine is actually a movie. It's a documentary about Atari. It's titled Easy to Learn, Hard to Master, The Fate of Atari. It's from 2017. I, like, more or less accidentally discovered that on actually Prime Video, where you can also watch it, at least, I don't know whether it's the same in Europe, but at least in the US it's free. With Prime Video.
So what's
and
this?
It is really good. Like, I mean, I can't tell how accurate it is because, like, I wasn't even alive for most of their, like, Prime.
Yeah.
But, like, it is a very interesting and compelling story about, like, about gaming, about, like, how this whole industry came up in parallel to kind of the computer industry and, like, the story of, like, Apple and Microsoft and all of those companies, IBM. And like what actually makes a good game and what made a good game back then and why Atari was successful and why it failed. So it's really good. I'm like, I haven't finished it yet. I had to stop because of the show. But yeah, it so far has been a really good movie.
So Philip Gould had an Atari console and it had the best games on it at the time. It was brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Even better and then the Commodore 64 came out after that, I think. And that was kind of took over a little bit with some of the games, but the Atari was excellent.
They have the real people, like it's Nolan Bushnell, it's like Steve Wozniak, like has a little, like a tiny little sliver where he says like a couple of things.
Didn't they write Breakout or something like that? Didn't Jobs and him, Jobs was commissioned with writing Breakout and Jobs ended, ended up writing it.
Exactly, and that's like that's the thing that the story they tell. Like that's all. Like Woz isn't a big part because he's not a big part of the fate of Atari. But yeah, he gets his word in, which is really cool. Yeah.
If you're interested in a lot of the older games from the 80s and that, there's a load of YouTube channels. One's guy called 8-Bit, but there's another guy, an English guy, and he talks about all the different game consoles over the years and their histories and the different names they were in England and in the US, because obviously they were more pop. Some game systems are more popular in Japan and America than they were here and in Europe. And obviously some were different names. Like, for instance, I think it was Sega Mega Drive. It was called Sega Mega Drive in Europe, but it was called something else in America. And it's fascinating sometimes.
Yeah. It definitely is. Like, I mean, how Atari came up with the like cartridges, like the cartridge games, like how and why and how they actually technically did it.
Well, one of the reasons,
like how everybody cloned basically just copied it.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I did that though is because when I was a kid, you used to have to put a tape into a machine and wait for it to, and you used to have to turn up the volume to get the lines equal distance, and then to wait 8 minutes for the cartridge to go through, and then of course something would happen.
And yeah, the wiggly wobbly,
lines. And then you'd on the spectrum, if you just nudged it a little bit, it was ZX81, wasn't it? The little expansion pack would just wobble momentarily, and you'd lose the whole.
Fragile wires and that kind of stuff. It was.
The joys of computing at the cutting edge in the 1980s.
Good times.
No, it was good. It was good. Good pick, mate. Thank you very much. Camps, what have you got for us, old boy?
I've got two things that they kind of go hand in hand. So there's one, and there is the other. So I can only show you one of them now. Basically, the Joby Gorillapod. This little one, and just from a size point of view, that's the an eight plus that's next to. So right. Same height as an 8+. So I got this just before I went on holiday. Went on holiday a couple of weeks ago. Wanted something so we get some family pictures when we're sort of around the apartment, when we're out having a meal and stuff, and just bob this on the table. Really, really super light to carry. I think it was about 15, 16 pounds, if I remember right.
16.99, yeah.
Yep, and the second link in there is a little adapter, just screws onto the top of there. Sit your iPhone in there, whether it be in portrait or landscape. It tilts around both ways. And it, whilst, yes, you can use the self-timer, it comes with a little Bluetooth remote phone, which trigger, works either Android or iOS. Little trigger. Works an absolute treat. I think that was about £6, I think it was. That's for the adapter and the little, comes with the remote. Worked an absolute treat. Like I say, really, really light, but well made. I mean, even as tiny as this is, putting the phone on it with the adapter, it held it really well. So yeah,
Joby make good stuff, mate. I use them a lot for work, holding GoPros and stuff like that. They're absolutely brilliant.
Worked perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just bought it.
You wrap around. Those legs are great as well. And if you wrap them around something like a railing or that kind of thing, the only thing to make sure is that you've got like you wrap around the railing, but the thing will swing under unless you've got one round the vertical.
Yes.
But if you get that right, those things are going nowhere. You can put them on vehicles and all sorts. I've had me 360 on one of those on a bulldozer.
Worked brilliantly. I've not got a GoPro, but I'm kind of fancying one. So when I'm out running, just shove that in my little running pack. If I want to take some shots or stuff like that, or I can just even to get a little action shot, wrap it around a post as I'm running past, anything I want to do, maybe give it a go.
Push it on your head.
Well, you get the shuttle, what's it called? The little tiny GoPro. They're really good.
Yeah.
I keep thinking to get one of those for biking.
You can pick them up secondhand and see,
yeah. Good pick, mate. Like those. Good one. Muller, what have you got for us, mate?
I bought myself a second-hand Mac Mini to do a Plex server, and I didn't want it lying down because it was taking up too much room, so I bought this little plastic stand. It's got a little gusset thing there, and you just put the Mac Mini in, and it holds it upright. And pretty simple, and it just keeps it out the way, really. So
I've got two 3D-printed things down there you could have had.
All right. Well, I haven't seen you for ages.
No, I know. Whole summer. Are you getting on with Plex? Because it's
it was really easy to set up. I mean, I watched a few videos on YouTube just to see, and then I downloaded the server, made myself some sorted out some files systems, and I've been loading stuff. I've been ripping. AMI music, AMI video, CDs and DVDs. And I've had a few issues with it recognising, but I've learned to name them properly. If you name them in a certain way, you get less issues and you can force it to find what you want. So, I mean, for a complete numbskull like me to be able to set up a Plex server in a day or two, I think it took me 2 days, but that's because I didn't.
Glad you said that.
Well, I kind of set up the Mac Mini first, and then I set up the Plex server the next day. Because obviously the Mac Mini came, and it was
good.
I think it was on. It was on.
Look at the mic, dude. Lion. There's a good
one. I think it was on Lion when I got it, or something like that. I don't know. 2014. Took a bit to get updated.
That's excellent. I've got another Mac Mini at home. I keep meaning to set up as a server, and I haven't done it. I need to really do it. So. Good pick, mate. Like that. Nice little bracket as well, isn't it? It's very 12 South, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just very light. I mean, I don't know why it costs £17. There's nothing to it. But
it's aluminium.
but it does fit. And there's a little, you can't see it on the picture, but you can probably just make out. There's like a sort of silicone material that just fits around the...
just protect it so you don't scratch it.
Yeah,
excellent. Like that. Good one. My cool thing is Amazon. particularly Amazon customer service, I regularly have a rant about the delivery people and the delivery guys that we've had are morons. They've put stuff where they're not supposed to put it because we've got no safe location for drop-off and that kind of stuff, but they still do it anyway. But I adore my Stream Deck. I use it to do the shows here, and it's absolutely wonderful. However, hang on, Muller's holding it up. Let's switch the camera. So you can see it. There you go. That's what it looks like at the moment.
It's like that eye of that robot from that weird program.
It's like we're getting it. It's like it's being interfered with by aliens in Independence Day. Yeah. There you go.
Would you remember that robot? I can't remember it was a really weird science fiction program. They had like a weird robot with two eyes. It's like his eyes.
Give it a bang because I've...
You're sending it back, aren't you?
Yeah. Working there. All right.
No, it won't.
No one did that because I didn't switch the shot. Hold it back up again. It's knackered. There you go. It's all over the place. It's absolutely shot. But it's. I rang Amazon tonight, fully expecting a fight, because I thought, well, you know, they're never going to. You know, it's been nearly a year now I've owned that. And I rang up, spoke to a girl called Jazz, and she said, yeah, what's the problem, Mr. Rankin? I said, I got this. It's not working anymore. The screen's just gone. Okay, anything happened to it? Nope, just been sat on the desk. Okay, fine. Do you want a refund or do you want a replacement? Oh, I want a replacement. I bloody love this thing. She went, right, okay, be there tomorrow. Thank you. Put the other one in the box and send it back. Done. Amazon Business Customer Services. Thank you. I do spend a lot of money with Amazon, so I do feel entitled a little bit, but it was just, I thought I was going to get a bit of a fight because of the time that's gone on, but they're honouring the two-year thing. There was an echo as well. A friend of mine, Gary Bond, we went to the cricket together, England, Australia, and he was telling me about his echo, and he said, I can't get it to work. He said, I said, how old is it? He said, I told him we've only had it for 4 months or something like that. Like, they won't have it back, and I'm like, they've got to. Why? I said, just say EU 2-year warranty. And okay, and I saw him the week, about two weeks afterwards for the last day of England versus Australia at Edgbaston. And I said, how'd you get on with the echo? He said, yeah, just said 2-year warranty. And the woman went, oh, okay, no problem, we'll send it back. Done. Now stand up for your rights.
That's nice.
Stand up for your rights. Excellent. It's been good to do a big show again.
Yeah.
It's a big show.
It's been a good day. I'm not match fit because I'm knackered. I'm absolutely knackered. but yeah, two shows in a day. There we go. I would have been three as well if Maria decided she wanted to do the crack at the Rootless. How's everyone enjoying the crack at the Rootless?
Brilliant. Yeah, loving it.
Yep.
It's good. It's good, isn't it? We're going to get Jeff on. We need to get Jeff on when we do one in the afternoon, but we've done them in the mornings of late, so it's been a bit too early for him. But we want to do a thing on American beers, so we'll have to get Jeff on for that.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, we need to get that sorted. We need to do it about 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon so that we can then do Mac or something like that. Maybe push Mac.
You and I'm sorry, I'm after drop off Seth Brian.
No worries, mate. Where can people get a hold of you?
Campaign UK on Twitter. Get me Just Run Chris on Instagram.
There you go, mate. Okay, cool.
Cheers.
Listen to Crack of the Rootless if you've not listened to it. It's a great show, all about alcohol and beer and drinking responsibly, but having a good time and enjoying it. We've had a great episode with David Glenwright, who is from Camera, the campaign for real ale in Britain, and he showed us how to taste beer properly. And it was a great episode. I loved it. Absolutely adored it. And my beer tastes have improved an awful lot in the last few weeks, so do give it a go. And don't forget to listen to The Daily Show as well. Carl Swagger gets up every morning and does The Daily Show for you. So it hits the feed about 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning. You can get all the tech news from the previous 24 hours. Jeffrey, where can we get a hold of you?
Pretty much all over the internet, but you can start at textexpander.com, and then you can find me on Twitter and Instagram, jgamut, both places, and tons of podcasts. I'm easy to find.
Excellent. Patrice, where would you be?
Well, every week here on the Mac Show and every day in the Slack room and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent, mate. Stick around after the show because I've got a question for you.
Sure.
And I've got your name. Steve Lowe. Muller Biker. Where can everyone get you?
Muller Biker on Twitter and Muller999 on Instagram and a couple of other places.
Excellent.
I'm in the Slack room, obviously.
Of course. And executive producer of the shows.
Of course.
Fact finder.
You're laughing at that, Patrice. Extraordinaire.
My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow me at 12 Space Media if you want to on Instagram and see some of the crap that I put out on there. I need to get better at that because that's supposed to be a bit more corporate. That's kind of it. It's been a great day. We've had a really good time. I've really enjoyed doing the shows again. It's been superb. Have a great weekend, a really fab weekend. Make the most of the last of the good weather because come Monday, mate, there's a hoolie blowing in and it'll all be gone. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.